Hallelujah. Amen. He is a good, good Father. Amen. Amen. Often, I've met with people that have been in conflict situations, difficult situations, catastrophes, and I hear people, when the pressure's on and when difficulties arise, I often hear people, and I would use the word accuse God. I would use it as an accusation. God is not good. God's not doing it the way I want it, so therefore God is not good. But I promise you, if you ever really get to know the Lord, you're going to find out that God is really a very good God. Amen. He loves you. Amen. He wants you. Amen. Minister to you. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. It's awesome being in church. I don't know if you know it, but it's Veterans Day. And tomorrow the banks are closed. The government offices will be closed. We had a little trouble with our gas line. They put a new gas line in. I didn't know anything about it until they were working on it. And we had a little trouble with gas flow. So I called them and said, can you come out and help us take a look? They've been out twice to fix it. And they fixed it twice. Hopefully it stays fixed now. Amen. But they told me, well, we're not going to be able to come out on Monday. If it's broke, we're not going to be out because we're going to be a skeleton crew because of the holidays. So I want us to take a minute. Amen. I want you to be seated just for a second. And a long time ago, when I first became pastor, we had a number of men that are gone now. They've met their reward, but they served in World War II. Some of them served in the belly of a bomber. One of the men that was here was a machine gunner in the belly turret of a bomber. And you have to be a man of short stature in order to even get into that little bubble that was at the bottom. He served in that role. And I always thought it was a great honor to have him in our church, someone who had really put himself on the line in World War II. We had others that served in Navy ships and been to their houses and seen the ships on the wall and different things. And, of course, most of you know I'm from a military family. My dad ended up being Command Sergeant Major, a very high non-commissioned officer's role. He served 24 years. I was raised on Army bases. I lived 6 months in an Army base and 6 months in an Army base and 9 months in an Army base and 6 months in another Army base and a year in another Army base and 2 years in another Army base as I grew up. Most of my young years, I've lived in Germany, I've lived in Oklahoma and Alabama and Georgia and the other side of Georgia, the left side of Georgia, the right side of Georgia, New York, Tennessee, Illinois, a couple places in Germany actually, and we've lived a lot of places growing up. And then I turned about 12 years old, and then we lived in Georgia until I went away to college. But those were my formative years, and I want to say I applaud every single individual who serves. And I would like to do that as a church. Amen. If you've served in the military, would you please stand? The Coast Guard, the Navy, the Army, the Air Force. Amen. We want to say thank you very much for all of your service. Counting the offering or taking care of the offering, and he also would be standing today, and I want him to know that I value those men that serve. And I've told it many times over the years. I'll never forget when my dad served. My dad served in Korea and two trips to Vietnam, and was in Vietnam when my mom had a terrible automobile accident, and they had to airlift my dad. They had to find him, and the Red Cross found him and got him back to the United States. And I was with a neighbor. My mom was in the hospital until my dad flew home. And you just never know when you're 8 or 9 years old and your mom's picking you up from a peewee football practice, and she pulls out and the guy's racing down the road and rams into her station wagon and knocks us into and across the street and into a gas station, and they come and get your mother in an ambulance, and your dad is in Vietnam, and you're like, cops are asking you, and you're saying, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know who to call. My family doesn't live in town. We lived here because of the Army base. And you just don't really have an understanding of the cost that families pay when their breadwinner is in a battlefield. And I'll never forget my dad coming home from Vietnam. And I remember two different occasions my dad flew home from Vietnam. And it was joyous to have my dad come home. So for those families that are left behind, I understand. And thank you for your sacrifice as you give up for those that serve. I hear stories from GIs. Liz's father told a story of being on a tank that slid off the trail, and his tank was left alone. They were in a line of tanks. He was the last one, and the enemy was hiding inside the tree line, and when they saw his tank had been disabled, they came out in force and attacked his tank, and he alone was able to fight them off. He was in a turret gunner in a tank, and he has shrapnel today in his back and wounds and burned at that incident. You may disagree with the government. You may disagree with why we go to do certain things that we've done. And the generals may not always be correct. And the decisions may not always be the best. But I thank God for men who are willing to put themselves in harm's path. And I say that for every cop, every doctor and nurse who serve, amen, and put themselves in the path of pathogens and sickness. I couldn't imagine being a child's doctor and you get the disease of the week come to your office. Anybody that gets a disease that week, they're going to show up at your office and you're going to have to take care of them and send them on and take every single little disease that comes through the elementary school. And so there are people that they serve other people, and I'm very thankful for you. And I would throw the same thing out for every, I'd throw it out for everybody just about who serves. Sunday school teachers, youth pastor, worship team, children's youth, our youth director, children's director, all of those people. Some people join the military because of the camaraderie that they find, the closeness, the relationships. Man, that's why I'm in the church. Amen. Because there is a camaraderie. There is a multitude of people that are caring for other people. They're loving your kids. They're praying for your kids. They're teaching your kids. They're putting up with your young people when your young people goof off and act wild and crazy and do all kinds of nutty things, and they come back and hug them and pray for them and care for them. And it's an amazing thing to be part of the church of the living God. Amen. It is an amazing thing. So thank you for all those that serve and any role where you care for others. My wife mentioned our work in Tupelo Children's Mansion. For those that are members, you also got a text a little while ago. So if you weren't able to scan the screen, you've got a text on your phone. If you weren't able to give in the offering, there's a text. You can click the link and you can give at any time. If you want to give to Tupelo Children's Mansion, they take kids that have been abused, molested, little girls that have been spent their whole life being molested, and now they're 5, 6, or 7 years old, and they take them in and they care for them and they teach them and love them and help them through some of the mental stresses that those things happen that bring into their lives, and they care for them. And it's an amazing place. And I'm very thankful to be part of Tupelo Children's Mansion. It's a beautiful thing. I want to preach today. I've got to go preach now. But I couldn't help not saying something and saying thanks for those. Verse 3, I think I've got it set to verse 3 of chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. Go to verse 3. I lied. Verse 3 says, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Jump down to verse 5. "In the house be not so with God. He hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. The sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place." There's a ferocious set of scriptures here. But look at verse 8. "And these be the names. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had." And I wish I had time to read them all. "The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. And he lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." Now, what a name to go through elementary school with. Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I preached one time about this. We're on a men's retreat on a cruiser out on a big lake, a houseboat, and there was a handful of men, and I thought, man, look at these boys in this room. Which one of you would like to be called Eleazar, the son of Dodo, and have to go to school and carry that label? Anyway, the Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Kohathite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the middle of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought a great victory. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit, amen, about the value of the battle, because freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. Pray with me, would you? That the Lord would help us. God, I thank you for your great grace and abundant, overwhelming mercy. I thank you, Lord, through the ages for men who have served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray, God, that you would undergird us today to understand and value, God, what you value, that we would hold dear to what you hold dear to. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. When we're done preaching, if we have an altar service after that, Dakota, where's Dakota? Dakota, somewhere over yonder. He's on this side now. Dakota asked me if I would baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, and he's going to do that after church today. He went to his mom and said, Mom, I think I need to talk to Brother Johnson, and I want to ask him to baptize me. I think that's the way it went, and we'll just leave it that way if it didn't go that way. So he did come last weekend and sat here on the front row, and we talked about it and the value of being baptized. And so I'm really excited to have him on God's team. Amen. I value that. Hebrews 11:32 says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed the enemies. Amen. What a great heritage we have. I want you to understand, if you're part of the body of Christ, amen, you're in the church, you're trying to live for God, I want you to understand your heritage. Amen. What you have today was not something that somebody simply gave you. It's not just a preacher in a nice church and a beautiful building with great stained glass and beautiful woodwork and all the stuff around it, but it has been fought for, that people have sacrificed for this. I've talked about a number of times over the years the number of people that died, that gave their life in the early day. Every single apostle. Every single apostle that wrote the New Testament gave their life for the sake of the gospel. Some were boiled in oil. Some were hung upside down. Some were crucified. Some of them had their skin flayed off their body. They took and tried to kill John the Revelator, as you call him today. They tried to boil him in oil. They thought that he was bitten by a snake. They thought he was going to die because a snake got him. They thought different ones were having these experiences, and they would fail. Paul was cast out of a city and stoned. The Bible says he was stoned and laid down, and when they all left, he got up. They don't stone you to discomfort. They don't stone you to where you're resting. They stone you to death. And they gathered around Paul and they misunderstood what he was preaching, and they misconstrued what he was trying to accomplish, and they felt offended by his speech. They felt offended by his sermon, and they went a little further than just being offended, and they began to stone him. And he lay there until they left, and he got up. It doesn't say this exactly, But I believe it's likely that he died because of the stoning. But after they got done stoning, he got up, and the Bible says he went into the next town and continued sharing the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ with the next town. This town doesn't want me, but I'm going to go to the next town, because the gospel that we have and the gospel that we preach and the gospel that you live for is too valuable just for you. It's too valuable to keep just in the church. It's too valuable just for the saved. It's too important to the world around us that they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And they need the church of the living God not to be content to keep the gospel inside the building, because it is worth literally giving your very life for. And we're in the church because men have been giving their lives for 2,000 years, and then for before that, for about 3,000 years before that in the Old Testament, they were fighting for the kingdom of God and the things of God. Now, we don't pull up swords and spears and shields and go to battle that way, but we certainly do have to stand for the idea that Jesus saves. Amen. That he is trying to save every single individual who will stop and listen to the gospel. Amen. And it is our destiny. It is our calling. Amen. It is our job. It is our duty. Amen. To stand up and share the goodness of Jesus Christ. Regardless of consequences. Regardless of consequences. And some of us, we're Americans. Most of us have been Americans and are in America and comfortable with America. And we like America, and we're happy to vote in America and get whatever president that we vote for. And sometimes we suffer with it, and sometimes we rejoice with it. And if you rejoice this time, you may suffer the next time. The guy that just got in, he's only got 4 years, and then he's going to be out. So if you're enjoying it, enjoy it for 4 years if you can. But in 4 years, we're going to have to find somebody else to put in there. And if you're mourning over that, you've got about 4 years to mourn and then have hope that you're going to get your guy in. Thank God for America. Thank God for a system that's not perfect, but it's one of the best in the world. Amen. I'm thankful. I don't thank God because we're perfect, because I wouldn't be able to thank God for David or for Jephthah or for Jezreel or any of those folks in the Word of God that failed and got up and lived for God, that failed and got up and accomplished. Even King David, a man after God's own heart, amen, committed sin after sin and made mistake after mistake. Living for God is not about being perfect. It's not about being the best in the block or the best in the neighborhood. Amen. Living for God is living for the best thing you could ever live for. Giving your life for the best thing you could ever give your life for. Amen. I speak from knowledge. I don't speak from scriptures or just a historical example. But I've traveled into China. I've met people who are afraid of their government. I met people in the middle of the night in a parking lot of a hotel to give them Bibles. We had to pull up our van and their van next to each other. And we had carried Bibles across the border, 30 suitcases of Bibles across the border. And some of us, we went in separate groups, not as if we were all together. We dressed differently. Some guys wore suits. Some guys wore jeans. Some guys wore casual clothes. And we split up and went through the lines with not matching luggage, different luggage. We didn't want to look like we came together. Some of us got caught. They took our Bibles away. Some of us got through and carried our Bibles. They'd actually made several trips and stored Bibles in an apartment. And someone went to the apartment and got more suitcases of Bibles, brought them back to us and gave them to us. And we had met on the phone a group from China that didn't have a single Bible. Their entire city, they had pages of Bibles. They had torn out pages and they would share pages of the Word of God. They believed so much in the Word of God that they would try and memorize their page, whatever page it was. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Matthew, it didn't matter to them. They wanted to memorize their page. And then they would pass their page the next time they met somebody. They'd give it to somebody else, and they'd get another page. And they would sit down, and I'm not talking about 200 years ago or 500 years ago. I'm talking about when I was a young man in my 20s, and it's gotten worse today. China's gone in and tore down churches, churches that seat 500 or 1,000. They said, this is illegal, after 20 years. And they just came in and bulldozed down the churches. The church is entirely underground. They say there could be over 100 million Christians in China today, but they're underground. They meet in groups of 5 or 10. Pastors who pastor 10,000 people have church an hour at a time. People show up. He's going to arrive at 8 o'clock. People start showing up at 6:30 in the morning. 2 or 3 at a time sneak into the building, go into an apartment, and they're all there. He shows up at 8 o'clock, and he says, okay, this is today's lesson. And he preaches today's lesson. At 9 o'clock, he leaves, and he goes and gets in a taxi or on a bus and goes to the next house. And all day, every day, he is literally going from house to house to house to house. He's been caught and arrested and spent 10 years behind bars. Today, now, in India, they're burning churches. I watched just the other day, they caught a man in India who they believed to be a Christian, and they beat him to death. This week, they posted a video of them beating him to death because he was an elderly Christian shop owner. And they're in that particular area in India. They were trying to eliminate Christians out of that area. And so they turned and attacked him. The Jews were attacked at a soccer game in Europe, and it became just outrageous. They were just herds of people attacking Jews. You can't tell me, amen, that everywhere in our world is knowing God or even having a faith in God in some way. And it doesn't matter. It's not even Christian. Others are being attacked for different religions. But you've got to understand, amen, it is valuable to us, amen, to stand regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the president, regardless of the governor, regardless of society, regardless of what's going on around us, that what we hold in our hand is the most valuable thing that we could ever find in our life. We have found a pearl of great price. Jesus said, it's like the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a pearl in a field. And he goes home and sells all that he has to raise enough money to buy the field because he wants to own the pearl that's in the field. And I preached to a group of people. Many of you have already realized that this is the pearl. Amen. Living for God, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the pearl that you ought to be willing. If you're not, amen, you ought to rethink your life choices. You ought to be willing, amen, to go and sell all that you've got. If that's what it took for you to get a hold of the gospel, amen, and for you to live in eternity forever and ever and ever. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. So let's contrast that. The kingdom of heaven is not like casual, comfortable. It's no big deal. You can take it or leave it. There's a lot of choices out there. There's a lot of other things that we ought to be engaged in. If you look, these men are 37 men that followed David, and they're called David's mighty men. Read the chapter, please. Mark it. Put yourself a note. Read the chapter. It's astonishing. Casey talked about the story of Samson and how astonishing it was as a young man. Read this chapter. Read the whole chapter. It's astonishing. One of them went down into a pit on a snowy day, amen, and fought a lion in a pit on a snowy day. They fought in a field, the one that I read, in a field of lentils. The Bible says it was his field. You read the whole story. It was his field. It was his city. It was his community. And all of a sudden, the Philistine army came up against them. And the Philistines are in the area you call Gaza today. So the battle that goes on in Gaza today is not a new battle. That was the land of the Philistines in this time frame in the Old Testament. And they were coming against Israel. And the Bible said all the men of Israel fled. But one. And that one guy said, this is my field. And if they get through my field, then they get into my family. And they get into my kids. And they get into my city with my relatives and the people that I've been raised with and I know. And he said, I'm not going to give up my field. I'm not going to stop. And he reached in, pulls out his sword, and stands in a field of beans. Who cares about a field of beans? Nobody really cares about the field of beans. But what the field represents, it represents everything he has, everybody he knows. Everything is represented in that field. And he said, I'm not going to fight just for myself. Don't you understand what God calls you to? Don't you understand? Casey made the point. I hope if you're in Sunday school, your Sunday school teachers made the point. Amen. Samson was all about himself. It was all about me. It's about what I looked like. It's about what I wanted. Argued with his parents. I want the woman from the other city. She's not in our faith. Amen. She's got a different faith. But she's cute and I want her. And that woman began to lead him astray. And his lust and his heart kept leading him away from the kingdom of God, away from the plan of God. And he never got the idea that it was bigger than Samson, that the battle that Samson fought was bigger than himself. Amen. The battle you fought to keep the faith, to stand in the faith, to raise your family in the faith, is bigger than what you like. It's bigger than what's comfortable for you. Amen. You've got to understand there's a piece of ground worth fighting for, and that represents your family, your kids, your grandkids. Everything, amen, is built up in whether you live for God or not. Because the way you go is the way they go. And if you won't stand, they don't have a rat's chance in AG double hockey sticks. If you don't stand, if you don't realize the value of your field, if you don't realize the value of the beans that you grow, the job that you have, the family that you're raising, the things you're trying to teach your kids. Amen. You've got to stand up and stand for God. You've got to make up your mind. Amen. This is my ground. This is my city. This is my life. And I'm not going to give up one single
inch of this ground. It is too important. It is too valuable that I can't back up. I can't back down. I won't hold back. I won't give up. I won't give in. I won't stop. I will give absolute everything I can to say I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm going to stand for my family. Amen. The only way you live for God is you make up your stinking mind that what you have the opportunity to get a hold of is generational. I know we've got moms and grandmas that your kids aren't living for God. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you that you stand faithful. And the day that I preach your funeral or Isaac preaches your funeral or somebody else preaches your funeral, we're going to stand up and say, this was a faithful woman. This was a faithful man. And you know it. You know of their faithfulness. You know of their commitment. You know they gave their all to God. And you need to follow them. You need to follow them, even if you have to follow them to the grave, because it is worth it. Someday, someday, you want to make heaven your home, and you've got to stand up and live for God. The only way to do it is to stand up, regardless of what anybody else does, regardless of what goes on around you, regardless of what the world decides to do. I will choose God. I will choose to live for God. I'll pay the price. I have people tell me, well, you know, it's hard for me to get up on Sunday. It ain't hard for me. Because when Sunday gets here, I'm going to church. You can't even stop me. I'm going to church. Well, it hurts. I can point to you a couple places that hurt right now. Amen. It's just too valuable. Amen. If I start to lay aside or lay down or back up, amen, it's just too valuable. The enemy is such a deceiver. He has the ability to capture people's minds. Psalms 144, David said, I'm trying to preach. I promise you, I'm trying to preach. Praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He says, he is my loving God and my fortress. And my stronghold, and my deliverer, and my shield, in whom I take refuge. My Lord, do you not feel and hear that? Amen. Because the battle is not yours. When you stand for God, I'm telling you, I wish I was a big guy. God stands for you. Amen. Casey, you just got to come up here. You just knew that, didn't you? You just knew Casey had to come up here. Amen. I'll put you right over there on that side. Amen. I'll be in trouble on this side. Man, I've got heartaches. I had a flat. I had to go to the garage this week. What a terrible week I've had. It's been horrific. I got a horrific call from my family. Amen. They're going through tragedy. My son lost his mother-in-law, and his wife is suffering. Her husband, he's on the very lip of retirement. And he thought, when I retire, my wife and I we're going to travel, and we're going to see, and we're going to, in a month or two, maybe three, before he's ready to fully retire, God calls her home. Terrible week. Terrible few days. Amen. Heartache, trial, and sometimes you can feel overwhelmed. Casey did a great job preaching it in the first class, and I hope all the Sunday school teachers taught very similarly. We're all on the same lesson plan. I don't know if it was in the lesson plan or just in his heart. But he talked about Samson keep pointing the finger to himself, my strength, my hair, my this, my that, my the other. But when he got to the end of his life, he turned his eyes toward heaven and said, God, my life doesn't matter, but I want you to get glory. And he tears the enemy's house down and slew more in his death than he slew in his entire life, because he finally got the idea. And I'm not saying that everybody's got to die in order to accomplish, but the point is, who do you run to? Well, I call my aunt, I call my mom, I call my dad. Mine are all dead. Then who do you run to? Well, my pastor from long ago, they're all dead. Now who do you run to? I'm telling you, there's only one that's big enough. And I'm pointing at him as God, not just because he's a big guy. That's just the biggest image of God I could get in the room. I wish I had one of those sumo fat wrestler outfits, and I mean, twice his size. That'd be awesome. But the Bible says, you run to him. He's a shield and a buckler. Amen. He's a shelter. He's a high tower. Amen. He is your confidence. He is your power. He is your guide. He is a light. Amen. His word, the Bible says, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said, I saw it this week. I heard old preacher preaching about it. Many, many, many times in Jesus' ministry, he uses the phrase, have you not read? You know what Jesus relied on? Have you not read that it said? Don't you understand what I've already written and told you about? Amen. Don't you understand it's contained in here? The principles are contained in here. Haven't you read it? Haven't you understood it? Amen. Come on, read it and understand it. He'll lighten your eyes. Amen. He'll show you the way. He'll give you wisdom and strength. Amen. He'll give you guidance. That's what he's promised. Amen. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He is on your side. You are not doing this by yourself. Amen. He is on your side. Let him be on your side. Let him fight your battles. Let him make a way where there is no way. Amen. And when you're overwhelmed, as the scripture says, lead me to the rock. Your hand. Look at that hand. Holy moly. That's even a big hand. That is higher than I. And you can rest in him. Amen. You can be strengthened by him. The Bible tells us of the prophet who went 40 days without water, without food, and he sat down by the rock, and God brought birds, and birds flew in. He was doing the work of God, preaching the gospel that God had given him, amen, to a very wicked woman, and then he had to flee for his life, and God brought birds. I wish you could understand the word that is in my heart right this second. That you could understand the concept I'm trying to bring across to you. Because when you're overwhelmed, you've got a God, the Bible says, who made a way of escape. He's going to lead you out of the snare of the fowler. He's going to keep you away from trouble. The trick of the enemy, the trap of the enemy, the problem of the enemy, and you're not going to be able to see a way out. You're going to be, oh no, this is horrific. I don't know what's going to happen. It looks like it's just terrible, and life has just turned against me, and it's so bad, it's so hard, and all of a sudden God's going to make a way of escape, and you're not going to see it until you turn to Him. You're not going to know it until you say, God, I need your help. I need you on my side. And I'm telling you, He's never failed me yet, and He's never gonna fail you. He's never gonna leave you. He's never gonna separate from you. He's always gonna lead you. It's always a surprise. When would you ever go up against a giant with a monster spear with a stick? Read the story. One of David's mighty men, one of the big giants of the day, came to him and was overwhelming and threatening. And he said, hey, I got a staff. It's enough. That's all I need is a staff. And the Bible says he plucked the man's spear from his hand, grabbed up the spear, and stabbed him with it. Well, where'd he get that from? I'll tell you where he got it from. There's a giant in the field, spent 30 days hollering and screaming, come on, send me a man. We'll fight one-to-one. Send me a man. And all of Israel's afraid. And a little 14-year-old boy walks up and says, what is that guy doing? Doesn't he know he's talking about my God? He didn't say he's talking about the people of Israel. He said he's talking about my God. You can't talk to my God that way. Amen. My God's going to show up. My God's going to defend himself. Let me have him. Amen. Let me show up because my God's going to show up with me. I'm not going to go out there in the field all by myself. I'm going to go out there and God's going to be with me. And the only way you can know that God's going to be with you is you get in a field of beans and feel like you're all by yourself. And you say, God, I need your help right now. Because faith comes first. We all want the victory, and then we're going to have faith and believe in the victory. Nobody wants the battle that's overwhelming to test whether we've got the faith or not. Nobody wants a doctor to say it's cancer, and then you're going to get healed by cancer. Because by the time he says cancer, and the time you get home, you think, oh my God, I better get my house in order. I've got to fix everything. I've got to pay all these bills. I'm going to die. He said 6 months. I just don't know. I'm going to be dead, and it's all over with. Where's Miles at? Miles. One more time, Miles. Come here. Cancer throughout his body. Cancer lighting up the x-rays. Everywhere. And they didn't know. You tell a young boy, you tell his mommy, he's got cancer throughout his body and it's lighting up his whole body. And he had to go through this, that, and the other. He went through chemo, he went through stuff, lost his hair. God's multiplied it. Look at that beautiful head of hair right there. Woo. Man,
beat the girls off of that head of hair. He's kind of got a little Trump to it right there, a little. Hallelujah. And yet God healed. Completely, entirely. But you would never convince Zanetta, hey, I'm going to give him cancer. Is that okay with you? He's going to have it for about, I don't know how long it was, Zanetta, 9 months, maybe 6 months, something like that. September to July, 10 months. And you're going to have to go down to Indianapolis, and you're going to have to go through this and that, and the doctors are going to say this and that and this and that and this and that. And you're going to have to go through all of that. And the only place I know Zanetta turned to was the church, so the church should pray, and the Lord. And I wouldn't wish it on Zanetta. Wouldn't wish it on you any day of your life that you'd had to go through that. I'm telling you, I agonize that you had that and you went through that and your mom was going through that and your dad was going through that and your sister was going through that. But without that battle, you wouldn't have this victory. And I'm telling you, if you run into trouble, I don't know what you're going to face next week, next month, next year. But you've got a God. You've got a God that'll fight your battle. You've got a God that'll show up when you're overwhelmed. When you feel like you're completely underwater. Amen. You've got a God you can turn to, you can rely on, and he'll answer every single prayer. Stand with me, would you? There's a price. There's a price for freedom. There's a price for freedom in Christ. There's a price for freedom in your home. Eliezer fought until the sword clave to his hand. He gave absolutely every single thing he could. When he lowered his sword and leaned on it, there were hundreds dead in front of him. And he had saved his family. I know we're not in a place in America where we're having a fight in a physical way. But there certainly is a darkness that rages around us that destroys people, that destroys families, that destroys relationships. People fight to see the light. Is there a light today? Is there a way out today? And I just want to be here and declare that Jesus still reigns, that he is still the answer to men's greatest need. And the challenge of living for God and reaching to your family and seeing God liberate people from drugs or alcohol or lasciviousness. Amen. There's still a God. Help me, would you? Bow your head with me. There's still a God that calls into the deepest recesses of our lives, where nobody knows and you don't even talk about. And God turns the light on. God loves you. God calls you. Casey asked everybody to repent at the beginning of this service, the end of last service. What a grand thing it is to open your heart to God and say, God, cleanse me. God, take these things out of me that I know don't belong. You didn't put them here. The enemy put them here. David himself cried out, create within me, O God, a clean heart and a right spirit. You will not despise. And all over this building, I don't know what you've allowed to get packed into your heart. What's happened to you that anger, frustration, bitterness, or just the pain and the hurt that you tried to pack away and you're going to hide it in your heart. I want you to be liberated today. I want you to unpack it. Give it to the Lord. God, this is not mine to hold on to. I want a clean heart. I want a right spirit. God, I want a cleanness of mind. I want a cleanness of spirit. I want a cleanness in my family. God, help me to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset me. Run this race with patience. Amen. All over this building, just for a moment. Would you do that? Right where you're at, I'm not asking you to embarrass yourself. I'm not asking you to cry out loud. I'm not asking you to do anything that anyone would know. But right here where you're standing with your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray David's prayer? God, purge me with hyssop. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. That the bones, God, which you have broken, you would heal. The pain, God, that I felt would be released. I pray, God, cleanse me. Purify me. Amen. Let me rejoice, oh God. Lift up my feet like hinds' feet on high places. Let my words be apples of gold in pitchers of silver. God, I pray that you would lift up my heart. Amen. And that your spirit would do a work in my spirit. God, I pray I open myself to you in Jesus' great name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord, if you understood what is going on right this second, amen, weights should begin to fall off. Amen. Your heart should begin to open up. Amen. Your hands can go up and begin to magnify him. God, I love you. Amen. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
amen, the payer of my price, the offer, God, of your sacrifice for my sin. Amen. I thank you, Lord. I magnify you, oh God. Hallelujah. How great is our God. How great is his name. Amen. He is the greatest one. There's no other the same. Amen. I magnify you. God, I exalt you. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that was and is to come. Amen. The one forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. We give glory to God, the author of life, the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Our shield and buckler, our reward. Amen. God who's in front of me, the God who's behind me, the God on my right side, the God on my left side, the God who surrounds me and keeps me as the apple of his eye. Amen. That's the God we adore. Amen. That's the God we praise. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to open up. I feel the Holy Ghost here in a very strong way. I'm going to open up the altar. If you'd like to come on and keep a conversation with God going for a few minutes, amen. I invite you to step out and come down. Amen. Come on, just lift your heart to him. God, I want to know you.